As December opens and the year approaches its end, tis the season for awards. In the book industry, Publishers Weekly is handing out the latest round of ribbons and medals. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. PW covers the business of publishing as much as the art of it, and the trade magazine's list of notables includes Fiona McCrae, director for two decades at the leading indie house Grey Wolf Press, as well as Jürgen Buss, director of the Frankfurt Book Fair, who has taken the fair beyond books and beyond Frankfurt. With news of PW's Person of the Year, we turn to Andrew Albanese, senior writer at the magazine, who joins us every Friday with the review of the week's news. And welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So anyway, we are catching up after our Thanksgiving break and our own visit to the Miami Book Fair. It was great to see you there. And let's start by talking about PW's Person of the Year. Who is it and why was he chosen?
Yeah, well, it's great to be back after the holiday. I trust you had a good one. And I do really enjoyed our time in Miami and our panel at the Miami Book Fair. And yes, PW has a Person of the Year for 2014. And it is HarperCollins CEO Brian Murray. And you can read all about why we chose Brian Murray in our December 1 issue, which is out now, and it's available on our website, of course, for free as well. And, you know, it's a fairly intense process to do this kind of selection every year, and it involves a lot of discussion and debate among the staff. But this year, you know, as we talked and his names came out and we did our research and we looked around, you know, Brian Murray really kind of leapt to the forefront because, you know, for one, HarperCollins had an incredibly strong year this year. They made an acquisition as well. And, you know, as you may recall, in Frankfurt, I had a chance to interview Brian Murray on the main stage. And in that talk, he really stressed the need for experimentation and for trying new things. And HarperCollins certainly has done that this year. So congratulations to Brian Murray. And you can read more about his selection on the PW website.
Well, indeed, congratulations to Brian and to everyone who is receiving special recognition in PW's list of notables this year. And tell us more about some of the others.
Yeah, there was a great list of notables this year that were in the conversation, and they include, as you mentioned, Fiona McCrae of Grey Wolf, another press that had a great sales year, a record year, actually, although on a much smaller scale. We also call out the work of librarians Robert Wolven and Sari Feldman for their work leading the ALA's Digital Content Working Group through its first 3 years. Feldman and Wolven have since handed over leadership of the Digital Content Working Group, but they really did a great job opening the lines of dialogue between library leaders and publishing executives, which really did not exist, surprisingly enough, even though librarians and publishers have always shared a strong mutual interest in our reading environment. We also call out the CEOs of subscription services Oyster and Scribd, who had a strong year this year and really sort of established subscription as a new model to be reckoned with in the digital reading world. We offer a hat tip to James Patterson, the best-selling author, for his generosity to literacy causes. And, of course, as you say, is to Jürgen Buss of the Frankfurt Book Fair as well, who's really guided the fair ably in some very challenging times. You know, what really impresses me about Jürgen Buss is that, you know, you might expect the leader of the world's most storied book fair to sort of dig in against technology. But Buss really has embraced the future, and he's really aggressively used the fair to push publishers toward that digital future, even though it seems many publishers would rather, you know, sort of sue people.
Well, it has become something of a habit in publishing back here in the United States, at least. And so with the mention of lawsuits, we go back to court. You were back in court this week as the Authors Guild has appealed the Google Book Case decision from Judge Denny Chin. Tell us about the latest on that.
Yes, Google and the Authors Guild had their appeal hearing before the Second Circuit this week, and got to be in the courtroom, and it was pretty fascinating, I have to say. First of all, the case was argued by two legal heavyweights, Paul Smith for the Authors Guild and Seth Waxman for Google, and the judge asking most of the questions, and certainly the toughest questions, was Pierre Laval, who, for my money, is probably the most accomplished intellectual property jurist on the bench today. The appeal was only scheduled for 30 minutes, but Laval, noting that it was a pretty complex issue, extended it for about 90 minutes. And as I note on the PW site, I don't think the extra time really helped the Authors Guild all that much, as they were facing a pretty uphill battle. Now, as many of our listeners will know, the Second Circuit has already ruled on a lot of the core issues here through the Authors Guild's parallel suit against Google's library partners, the HathiTrust. In 2012, Judge Harold Bear ruled pretty emphatically for the HathiTrust, finding fair use there. And this same Second Circuit panel affirmed that ruling this past June unanimously. You can read my story on Wednesday's hearing on the PW site, but I'll add some impressions here too. You know, first, it was pretty clear to me that Paul Smith's job for the Authors Guild was to separate the guild's case against Google from the HathiTrust case. But I think, by all appearances, he failed. He stressed that Google was a commercial venture, but Pierre Laval was simply not having that and told him straight out, pretty much busted in about a minute into Smith's presentation, that if he argued the commercial angle on this, he was going to lose. What really struck me was Paul Smith's contention that the ability to look up passages on Google Books via snippet view was actually harmful to authors because people could just look things up online and never really buy the book. You know, first of all, I think that view of kind of a licensed access to all knowledge is aberrant. But, you know, does the guild really believe that someone should have to pay to look up a passage in a book or a quote as if they can't find it somewhere else on the web these days? But even more stunning is that this kind of searching is the precise transformational use that Judges Bear, Judges Chin, and the Second Circuit praised in their decisions finding fair use. In fact, in his decision finding for Google last year, Judge Chin even said that his law clerks use Google Books to do site checks. You know, so to be kind, I think Paul Smith was swimming upstream on that snippet argument. To be less kind, I think he pretty much blew it.
Well, okay, well, that's your view there, and an interesting account of the latest in a case that goes back to 2005, so nearly 10 years running on the Google Books case. In Monday's issue, the coming issue from Publishers Weekly, you've got your annual ALA, American Library Association, Midwinter Preview. Tell us what we can expect to find there.
Yes, that's right. You know, once again, we have our ALA preview issue this year. It's a big, fat feature, which I'm, you know, happy to be getting out as of today. And you know, this year, anchoring our coverage is a list of top 10 library stories of 2014. Now, I fully acknowledge we have a few weeks left in the year, and I'm hoping that a big story doesn't break between now and January. But, you know, we did this last year for the first time. We did a top 10 library stories of the year, and it was a big hit online. So this year, we wanted to expand it and move it into the print edition as well. So I'm not going to really offer any spoilers here. You know, I want you to go to the PW site and check them out and in Monday's edition. You know, I'll say that only that our listeners will be familiar with most of these issues, that ebooks factor in to about five of them, and that the library in Ferguson, which has gotten a lot of national media attention, also cracked the list as well. But check out the full list on the PW site and in Monday's edition.
Well, indeed. And, you know, as you say, it's rather like a holiday gift. You don't want to tell somebody what's inside. You want to have them enjoy the fun of opening it themselves. So we'll let them do that on the Publishers Weekly website. And Andrew Albanese, we thank you for joining us this week, as always, on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.